Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Jack DeLosa podcast, the place you go to elevate your business and master your life. In this episode, we are doing something a little bit different, as you might have been able to tell from the title. Now, the reason why I want to expand this conversation that you and I are having into different areas other than business is because if there's been one thing that's been consistent for me in the successful entrepreneurs and performers that I've met throughout my life is that they understand that growth in business is a reflection of personal growth. And so in this episode, we are super excited to welcome the superstar, Melissa Ambrosini. Her and I are doing a Facebook Live. And so I wanted to share it with you again today because there are some really important points here that I know you are going to get a lot from. Melissa is an entrepreneur, self-love coach, and the best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl and more recently, Open Wide. She was named a self-help guru by Elle Magazine, and her mission is to inspire women across the globe to create a heart-centered life, one that's wildly healthy, wildly wealthy, and bursting with love. She's also the host of the Melissa Ambrosini Show, so check that out. That's her podcast that's been downloaded over 2 million times. So this woman has built a movement. Melissa and I dive into a lot of the topics she explores in her recent book, Open Wide, which she artfully describes as a radically real guide to deep love, rocking relationships, and soulful sex. So we have a very real, authentic chat around relationships, moving past conflict, connecting with your partners and any people that you might be in relationship with, and particularly with your partner. Of course, we had to go there and discuss the soulful sex component as well. So hope you enjoy this episode. We'd really love to get your feedback. As always, the best way to contact me is DM me on Instagram, just at Jack DeLosa. Let's get in on it. As entrepreneurs, we see the world differently. In a world that not only tolerates but promotes mediocrity, we unreasonably demand more. Giving you access to the world's most successful entrepreneurs and thought leaders, this podcast uncovers the untold truths of what it really takes to build a multi-million dollar business while optimizing your personal performance in every area of your life. I'm Jack DeLosa. Let's get to work. We are live with one of my incredibly gorgeous friends, Melissa Ambrosini. Now, this lady needs no introduction. A lot of you have probably heard of the book Mastering Your Mean Girl. Melissa is a best-selling author and host of the Melissa Ambrosini Show, and she is an incredible entrepreneur who's on a mission to light up the world, and she's doing exactly that. Her last book, Mastering Your Mean Girl, was a runaway success, and she is just in the process of releasing her brand new book called Open Wide, which is an incredibly soulful, heart-centered, vulnerable book. When you came in this evening, it was the first time I've ever seen you a bit nervous and vulnerable.
Yeah, it's very vulnerable, it's very open, it's very honest, and it's scary. I've had some vulnerability hangovers, that's for sure.
What was it like to write it?
The writing process was really quite effortless. It's for me, writing is I just channel it. I know that sounds really woo-woo, but it just does. Like, yeah. it just comes.
All about it. Yeah.
But then it's the editing process where the self-doubt, the mean girl comes in.
Oh, so true. Love the writing. Hate the editing.
Hate it. Yeah. Because then you fully start to doubt yourself.
Yes. And it's all the detail and the to-ing and the fro-ing. It's better when it's just flowing.
Totally.
That completely rhymed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So, for those watching that haven't watched the book, I've got a whole bunch of questions I'm really looking forward to diving in with you.
Awesome.
For those that haven't seen the book, talk to us about what it's about. Set the context for us.
Okay. So basically, it is about how to have deep love, rocking relationships, and soulful sex. And the reason I wrote it is because relationships are our biggest spiritual assignments, as I like to call them. They're also the biggest game that we play, yet we are never given a manual. And the way that we learn how to navigate our relationships is usually from our parents, and unless you win the gene lottery, that might not be a good thing, or it might be really cool. So we learn by going in relationships and making mistakes, but I've spent a lot of time and a lot of relationships and a lot of tears and a lot of therapy. So basically it's everything that I've learned over the years, because I believe that deep love, rocking relationships, and soulful sex is our birthright. And we are in relationship to everything at all times. Mm. But ultimately, opening wide is about opening your heart and opening your mind to life.
Mm.
And it's about, not just about your relationships, but it's about your relationship with yourself, which is the most important relationship of all. So before you get to the how to have relationships with other people, you got to work on the... this relationship first.
I love how you say it's the most intense spiritual assignment, because it really is, right? You can be incredibly wise and enlightened, but then trying to be incredibly wise and enlightened in relationship with somebody else for 1, 10, 20, 50 years is, is an incredible growth curve to go on.
Totally.
Before I get to my next question, guys, as always, you will get to interview Melissa tonight. So write your questions in the comments below. The two best questions, as determined by Mel and I, are going to win two signed copies of this brand new book.
Woo-hoo!
And so ask away in the comments below. And if it's awesome, then you'll get a free copy. And the other thing is, guys, is you probably have people in your network, in your friendship group, that would benefit from not only hearing this conversation, but all the other conversations we have over here. So hit the share button, share this with your network. When you've done that, just type shared in the comments below, and Rosie and us will give you a shout out throughout it. Open wide, you talk about where that title came from in the book. I found it to be beautiful. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like in every moment, we're either open or we're closed.
Mm.
We're open to the people around us or we're closed off to them. We're open to the taxi driver or we're closed to him. We're open to the waiter or we're rude and closed.
Mm.
And in every single moment, we are either open or we're closed. And I believe that if you want to experience a full, beautiful life, that you've got to be open to everything.
Mm.
You've got to be open to every experience, every opportunity, and everyone. But we're so judgmental and we're so closed off, but that is stopping us from experiencing the miracles that are all around us.
Mm, mm.
And so for me, this is my mantra. Like, open wide is my mantra. It's every morning before I open my eyes, I say to myself, let go and open wide. And that to me is like, let go of the day before and open wide to this new day. And so it's something that I'm constantly saying to myself, like when my stepson tells me my food is gross and I want to shut down and close off and just like scream, that is an opportunity to open wide. When my husband annoys the crap out of me and doesn't do the dishes or something like that, and or says something to me that triggers me and upsets me and I want to shut down and I can feel my body like going to close down and getting angry, that is an opportunity for me to open wide, because that's the work.
Mm.
It's in the opportunities where we want to shut down and close off, where we can do something different, because nothing changes if nothing changes.
Mm. Mm.
That's when we grow.
Mm.
Not when everything's all rainbows and butterflies.
Mm.
It's when we're in the struggle that we do something different that will grow.
What advice do you give to people in order to open wide, particularly in those moments? Because that right there is the picture of when it is most, when one is most challenged to open wide and to respond from a position of love or compassion. How do they do that?
It is a conscious choice.
Mm.
It is a conscious choice. And even when your body and like every cell in your body is like, oh, I'm so angry.
Fight.
I don't want to open wide. I just don't want to do it. Like, we've got to.
Yeah.
Because someone has to yield.
Mm.
And I know for me personally, I have taken that closed anger into the next day and weeks.
Yeah.
And women are really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at carrying that stuff forward.
Mm.
And it doesn't serve anyone.
Mm. Mm.
Nothing good comes from closing.
Mm.
Nothing.
I love that. Nothing good comes from closing down, right?
Closing
nothing.
Down, exactly.
Yeah.
Closing your heart, closing your body. Like, nothing good comes from closing.
Mm. Mm.
Your mind, anything.
Mm.
So we've just got to have the awareness of when we're shutting down and then make a different choice.
Mm. You start the book with what I think is a really important conversation, which is a conversation around masculine and feminine. Talk to us about how you view those different sort of dynamics and how they can best sort of, not coexist, but synergize.
Yeah, well, masculine and feminine energy are within all of us. Like, you have both, I have both. Mm. And when you can really start to understand your energies within you, that will help your relationships. But for me personally, I know when I am too much in my masculine and what I need to do to come back. I know when I'm too much in my feminine and I know what I need to do to rebalance. Mm. And that polarity exists in all relationships and in all things. It's the yin and yang.
So define masculine and feminine.
You know what? I get so nervous saying this because people like get so on their freaking high horse about it. But like, get over it. Like, it's just...
Have the conversation.
Have
right?
the conversation. Yeah. And none are better than the other.
No.
You know, you need both.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are too much in your masculine, there's going to be an imbalance.
Yeah.
And if you're too much in your feminine, there's also going to be an imbalance.
Mm.
So for me, it's like... I try to elegantly dance between the two within myself and then also within my marriage and within all of my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm too in my masculine and my husband's too in his masculine, we're just going to do this.
Yes.
We're going to butt heads.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's about having that awareness within myself that I know when I need to call more on my masculine. When I'm like... talking Bitcoin and index funds and profit and loss and balance sheets with my husband, which are things that I love, that really requires me to, you know, be in my masculine, to like be really focused in that and you know, directional. And then there's times where I need to really be in my feminine, like when my stepson comes to me crying, or I'm tucking him into bed at night, or I'm cooking, or I'm hosting a dinner party, like that more fluid energy. And you could think of them like firm and fluid, or flexible and firm. And we need both of them. You know, you need to have that directional masculine energy, and you also need that fluidity that the feminine brings. It's this beautiful dance that we can do between the two. Like, you can visualize it like the masculine is like the flagpole and the feminine is the flag. The flowy dancy flag around the flagpole, but the masculine's that strong, sturdy, directional, mission driven energy. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
And so what's the suggestion for men and for women in terms of owning their masculinity, owning their femininity? To what degree do you think is a good balance?
I think everyone's different.
Yeah.
I think everyone's really different, and you really do need to explore it within yourself. Absolutely. And when you have that awareness within yourself, you can adjust. It's like a seesaw. If you're too far down this end, you know what to do to get to the other end. And this is what I talk about in the book. It's, you can't be, there's going to be an imbalance if you're too masculine, and there's going to be an imbalance if you're too feminine.
Yeah.
You've got to have that balance.
Balance.
And you've got to know what it is that helps you rebalance, because everyone's different. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Guys, tonight we are joined by Melissa Ambrosini, who is just releasing her book called Open Wide, a radically real guide to deep love, rocking relationships, and soulful sex. As always, you guys set the agenda. So for the two best questions we get tonight, those two people will get a signed copy of Mel's new book. What you guys need to do is just punch your questions into the comments below. Rosie and Keels are behind the camera playing directors, and so they will relay the questions over and we will rock and roll. How has your relationship, and particularly, so I love your husband. I don't even think we've ever really met properly, but he's an absolute legend. And we share a couple of very, very close mutual friends. How has your relationship helped form and challenged you and inspired you to form a lot of this?
Oh my God, it's definitely been such a big inspiration to write this book is my own relationship, because this relationship is like nothing I've ever experienced before.
How so?
Oh, it is. I didn't know you could have a soulful connection with someone like I have with my husband. I didn't. Wow. I didn't know relationships weren't about filling voids. I thought you feel a void in me and I feel a void in you and we're a perfect match. This is what my past relationships have been like. But when two people come together, you feel a void in me, I feel a void in you. For example, one of my ex-partners was, I like to be saved and they like to save women. It's like, perfect. We were match made in heaven, right? That has an expiration date. It does.
What's your evolved understanding? If we're not filling voids in relationship, what are we doing?
Two whole people coming together. Two whole and complete people come together to share their completeness. That's when the fun begins. No void. Like, I'm already full. I don't need you to fill a void in me. I'm already full. Let's come together. It's like two complete people that complement, not complete. You complement each other. That's what I have experienced, and that's what I think makes a great relationship.
I love that. In the book, you talk about how to have rocking relationships. What are the sort of key strategies or principles you can share with the audience around some of the fundamentals that you've learned and researched around creating really meaningful relationships?
I think one of the best tools that I have experienced is something that I call CCC, and that is crystal clear communication. Not a lot of us practice that.
No, particularly with those closest to us.
Yeah. We think our partners can read our minds, but they can't. Women, they cannot read our minds, even though I'm like, why can't you just read my mind? They can't. They don't. They can't. Yet. Maybe. One day.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Can you guys hurry up? Like, seriously. But we think you guys can read our minds, and we also practice vague, wishy-washy, head-to-head communication. But when I speak from my head, I'm going to get a response from your head. But when I speak from my heart, I'm going to get a heart-centered response back. So crystal clear communication is about speaking your truth, honesty, from your heart. And you practice this with everyone. Like, clearly. Like, I'm talking crystal clearly. And I practice this with my son. I practice this with my husband, my friends, my parents. There will be a breakdown in a relationship when someone hasn't practiced crystal clear communication. That's when the breakdowns happen.
So true.
You know? And like, my husband will say to me, I think we should take five. And when we can both communicate crystal clearly, then let's come back together. And I'm like, probably a good idea.
That is a very good strategy, and it works, and it's sometimes very necessary.
Totally necessary.
Mel, soulful sex.
Yes.
How important is it? And in the context of a relationship, how does two people enable it to thrive?
Okay, so I believe there's kind of two types of sex. There's junk food sex, which is just quick, easy, mutual masturbation.
I like that metaphor. Junk food sex, that's good.
Junk food sex, and then there's soulful sex, which is two people, conscious people coming together, heart opened, they're authentic, they're vulnerable, they're honest. There's a difference, and it feels different. It feels very, very different. And it's about being real. Like, really, metaphorically, the most naked you'll ever be. And physically, obviously, you'll be naked. But
I love that.
Yeah, it's really about a heart-to-heart connection with someone. Because it can really be a soulful, heart-expansive experience. Because you are so vulnerable with someone. You can't hide.
Are there key things that you think people do wrong with regards to sex in relationships, or could improve?
Yeah, I think always the intention. Like, what is your intention to make love or to have sex? Like, what's the intention behind it? And that's how I approach everything. Like, my intention for work stuff, my intention to catch up with someone, like always come back to what is your intention?
Mm.
Is it to like unite with that person?
Mm.
To deeply connect
mm.
and to unite? Or is it just to get your rocks off? Mm. Like, and they're not right or wrong, mm. but what is your intention? And just be honest with yourself.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm.
This is good.
This is good.
This is so good. Rosie, you have questions. Talk to us.
Yes. Okay. First question comes from Lacey Moses. She says, I'm trying to be okay with being, more okay with being me. Any tips on just being okay with being different than most people around you?
Mm. We're all different. We're all weirdos. We're all like different. I think embrace your quirkiness. Embrace whatever it is that you think is different about you. Embrace that.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes you uniquely you.
Yeah.
You know, and beautiful. And we're 100%. All so different. So
yes.
Embrace it.
Yes. And particularly because Lace is a sort of common, she's always on
yeah.
viewing, isn't she? So Lace, my view is that as particularly as dreamers and entrepreneurs and anybody that has a really large endeavor in life, you know, I used to call us the one percenters, right? In that we think differently and we operate quite differently. And I don't know if I'd still term it as a 1%. It's probably, I think that percentage has grown today from even just a few years ago. But I think the most dangerous thing about being a dreamer is that often we're surrounded by those that aren't, right? And just because you're a misfit or just because the people in your immediate circle, the people that you spend most time with or whatever, have different views to you, have different values to you, want to live a different lifestyle to you, want to do relationship differently to you, that shouldn't be cause for you to question your values and your choices, right? It should just be cause for you to get more certain in who you are and perhaps seek out those who are values aligned in terms of how you want to live your life. And so, yeah, I think your brilliance comes from your difference, right? And so don't turn it down or turn away from it. Amp it up, turn it up. You'll attract the right people.
Mm, mm.
So many questions coming through. Rosie, keep going.
Okay, next question comes from Sharma. She asks, how can I help someone else become more open?
Mm, this is a really good question. Leading by example.
I love that you said that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we can't fix, change, or improve anyone. As much as you really want your partner or your friend or your mum or your kids to really open up and get it, the end of the day, the only way that you're going to inspire anyone else to open up is by you being the example. That's what I have personally experienced.
I love that you, because I was thinking what you said, I just didn't know how to put it into words. But I think so often that happens. Like, I do this. We listen to, like, personal development books or even management books or whatever, and as we're listening to it, we go, yeah, this person is, and we think of other people and how they could apply it, almost circumventing our own exploration and go, hold on a second, I'm going to get more out of this exploration. I'm going to get more out of this book or, you know, any management books or business. If you go, how do I apply it to myself first, be the example, and by doing that, illuminate the path for others to follow.
Exactly. Mm. That's it.
Mm.
That's it.
Love your answer.
Sharma asked a follow-up question, actually. She says, I'm always attracted to travellers and they end up leaving me and don't ask me to go along. How do I change my pattern?
Oh, it comes down to a deep-seated belief within her, and I don't know what that is, but everything that we are creating, we are manifesting ourselves. So there is some belief within her or within whoever's listening that is stopping you. And that's what we've got to get really clear on. We've got to really be mindful of what are those patterns, because it's a pattern that you keep playing out over and over again. And if you want to rewrite that, then you've got to do something different. And maybe that is a different programming in the mind. And this, it plays out to any area of your life. So look at that belief. What is that belief deep within? And then let's work on rewriting that so you can create something else.
And is there something in the simplicity of, if you don't want your partner to travel continuously, then don't date travellers?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Could it be as simple and as profound as that?
Yeah, definitely.
Because don't we do that? Like we almost, there's an element of self-sabotage to it, right? Like whatever issues that we have, we subconsciously choose partners that are going to bring those issues to the surface. And so I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want people to go traveling without me. Therefore, I'm addicted to travelers. Like,
yeah.
Rewire that, right?
Rewire. We rewire, recreate the story.
Mm.
Because a lot of us are living out our old stories,
mm.
our past stories, yeah. over and over again. And if you want something different, you've got to do something different.
Mm.
Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Mm.
And this is what I see in business. People want to earn X amount
mm.
or want this relationship or want this health, but they're not willing to do anything different.
Mm.
They're just going to keep going in that cycle, and I'm just like, but that's crazy. Like, if you want to create something different, you've got to do something different.
I love that. It's good. Rosie's the Ask Jack D barometer, so if she's smiling and looking gleeful like she is right now, you know we're doing something right.
I love this episode. This is like really new kind of content for us. We haven't covered this area.
All the questions
before.
Are great.
Yeah.
Really?
Keep going.
We've
that's
got a
good
question from Keely coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Keely White?
Keely White.
Gotcha,
yeah,
okay.
Keely.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Keely says, Melissa, how do you stay open without allowing yourself to be walked over?
Ooh.
Good question, K-Dub.
Good one. We have, and I talk about this in the book, you have got to set healthy boundaries.
Mm.
Healthy boundaries in every area of your life.
Mm.
Healthy boundaries are really, really important. And I actually get everyone to write out all of their different boundaries in every area. So like, you know, their relationship boundaries. And I get them to go through every area because it's so important that you know where you stand. And a boundary is something that you get to choose.
Mm.
It's like if you had a block of land and there was no fence, and you had this beautifully, you know, property, and you have no fence. People are gonna walk all over it. People are gonna bring their dog and poop on it. You're gonna leave their trash. But if you have a boundary around that property, that tells people that, well, there's a gate, that tells people that, no, you can't come and leave your rubbish on the grass. And you can't let your dog come in and poop all over my grass that I've just mowed and looked after.
Yeah.
But there's a gate, and you get to decide who and what comes in and out. You get to decide if you want to let that person in or you want to let that experience in.
Mm.
And that's really important. So please set healthy boundaries for yourself, whatever they look like. And then that way you won't let people won't be able to walk all over you because you've set this firm boundary within yourself.
And what I imagine for a lot of the people watching is once we've determined what those boundaries are, it's then about how do I communicate those effectively and elegantly and respectfully, and coming back to the triple C's, right? Clear, crystal clear communication.
Yep.
Do you have any sort of tips and strategies for how to communicate boundaries?
Yeah, with crystal clear communication.
Yeah.
So like sometimes it is sitting that person down and openly and honestly saying, hey, I feel like this when you do this, so you know, I would appreciate it if we did it like this or whatever. I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But practicing crystal clear communication to let the other person know of your boundary. Or you just you know, have that within yourself, and it's energy as well. Like people will feel it. People will know that, you know, like for example, I think social media, like you've got to set healthy boundaries for yourself. You have to set healthy boundaries.
Mm.
Otherwise, it is a vortex and you are just going to get sucked in.
Mm.
And, you know, email is another boundary that you need to set. Okay, for yourself, right, I'm going to check emails from this time to this time and I'm not going to have it on my phone and I'm not going to open it. And setting those boundaries is just setting you up for success.
Love it. And also setting up the person that you're in relationship with. And I don't just mean your romantic partner, but anybody you're in relationship with, right? Like, if we don't communicate our boundaries and we don't communicate our expectations, often we have these expectations that we couldn't expect to hold anybody to if they're yet to be communicated. I think the other thing in terms of communicating boundaries is similar to what you were saying before, in terms of if you come at that communication from a head intellectual, particularly a defensive or a blame type space, it's probably going to be met with, fuck, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Whereas if you communicate it from a heart space, like you said, you know, when this happens, I feel like this. Mm. People can't really argue with that, right? Like, you're just talking your truth.
Exactly. And, like, who are you to say that your truth is wrong? Do you know what I mean? Exactly. Like you, when you say, it's my truth, like, you can't argue with it.
Love it.
And that's really important.
Yeah. Mm. Love that. Love that. All right, Rosie.
Okay. Next question comes from Balaram. He says, how do you develop that extreme self-awareness that is so lacking in today's relationships?
Again, it comes back to you. We've really got to take responsibility for our relationships. We've got to take responsibility for how we're showing up in our relationships. Because it's very easy to point the finger and blame and judge our partner, our friends, but every time we point that finger, there is three pointing right back at me to take responsibility for how I am showing up. And that is very, very important. We really have to do that. I think we're very quick to judge and blame other people.
100%. I was talking to our members about this last week in terms of, it's almost like our natural instinct to not see our weaknesses and kind of deflect them in a way, right? It's sort of this ego protection thing. Do you have any strategies to enable people to confront some of that stuff that might be in the shadow? Like, if there's things in me that I'm not seeing, how do I best go in search of and identify that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm defensive, or if I'm an asshole, if I'm aggressive or whatever it might be, how do I search and identify?
Well, okay, if people are constantly telling you that,
feedback from others.
Yeah, if you're getting feedback, there's a really good opportunity that it might be true.
I love that. There's a really good opportunity.
You know, there is, and I think you can either look at it as an opportunity for growth.
Yes.
Like I did, I don't know if you've done, you've probably done a heap of personality tests and like have you done Flippin? The Flippin profile?
No.
You've probably done Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
There's one called Flippin profile, right? Mm. And it gives you your top three constraints and your top three strengths.
Mm. How do we spell Flippin?
It's with a PH.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it is an this is how they pick the New York Yankees off these profiles. It's amazing. Look into it.
Part of the recruitment process, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it gives you your top three constraints and your top three strengths.
Mm.
And within your constraints, like we did it for my whole team, and then my husband and I did it as well. And we sat down with our three constraints. And one of his is low need to nurture. So Nick is very... he doesn't soften things. He'll just be like constructive criticism straight away. Where I'm like, I'd like some constructive feedback first before you deliver the big fat truth bomb to me. Please.
And wrap it in some
compassion. Can you just wrap it in a nice little bow? And we work with women, like most of my team is women.
Yeah.
And it was coming across as him being rude. And gotcha. I'm like, he's not rude. Like he has a low need to nurture. He doesn't need it wrapped in a pretty bow.
Yeah.
Where I was like, we like it in a really nice pink bow if that's okay. And not like fluffy, like, just giving. And so we worked on his constraint and we said to him, like, why don't you give a compliment first and then give the feedback?
Awesome.
And so now he does that.
Yeah.
And so that's something that he's working on. So I think if you want to grow and evolve as a human being, you have to be willing to look at these constraints.
100%. Can I be so bold to ask what was one of yours? You didn't have any.
No, I did.
She doesn't have any.
I did. And I can't think of the exact, like his was low need to nurture. I can't think of the exact terminology. But it was to do with focus.
Yep.
And because I'm like, all of the things all at once and let's do everything.
All now.
All right now. So it was something around, focusing on the task and not getting too excited about all of the fun things that are going out
I can't
there.
Relate to that at all.
I want to do this and I want to do a podcast and I want to write books and I want to do like...
Another project.
So one of mine was, to really focus. So since knowing that, I have made sure that when I'm writing a book, I'm just writing a book.
Love it.
Like I'm not doing 17 other projects. Like big projects. I'm still working on other things, but I'm not doing all of these other big creative projects.
One macro project at a time.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And that's the power of self-awareness, right? When you learn that your tendency is to not be focused, you can then spend more conscious energy in enabling that.
Yeah.
I think we've got time for a couple more questions. I know time's up, but
we
I'm just going to keep going.
Time.
I don't care.
You can take one more.
All right.
One more.
I'd call it two.
Joshua asks, what do you believe the most common problems people have in relationships and how
good question
happening?
There's a couple, but I think one of the most common is thinking that the grass is greener on the other side.
Good call, Melissa Ambrosini.
Yeah. It's very easy to get into a relationship and as soon as you have a fight you're like, oh, stuff them, the grass is greener, I'll just dump them. But the grass is greener where you water it. And if it's like a plant, if you want your relationship to thrive, you've got to invest time, love, energy, like you would a plant. You'd water it, you'd tend to the soil, you'd give it the right amount of sunlight, and then it will flourish. Same goes for your relationships.
One of the really interesting things I did when I was a bit younger, probably sort of late teen years, is I would find couples that have been married forever, like 40, 50, 60 years, and I'd go, well, how has it done? And they'd all say exactly what you just said, which is, it's work. Right, like don't think that career is work and health is work and relationships is love, trust and pixie dust and happy ever after. Like you need to show up and sometimes engage in arguments and but be present and not run and work through it, right? Like
totally.
Do you sort of subscribe to that philosophy that this stuff requires a hell of a lot of leaning in and a hell of a lot of personal bravery to stay?
Of course. I think there's a misconception that as soon as you say I do, it's rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
absolutely not. That's when the real work starts. It's like that is when it really, really starts. And I mean, I've only been married for 4 years. Like
that's good.
Yeah, but some people have been married for like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And for me, like, the deeper we go, the more time we invest and we create space. You have to create space for your relationship. Like with your work, you have to create time to do your work.
Yeah.
You have to create time in your relationship for it to grow and flourish and really evolve. Or you don't and it just dies.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And I think another thing where we go wrong is we forget that we're on the same team. I see a lot of couples play tit for tat. Mm. I did this so you should do this, or I did this so I get to go and do this. And that tit for tat is the scorekeeping.
Yeah.
I see it a lot in married couples and long-term couples.
Yeah.
And that breeds resentment.
Yeah.
And you're on the same freaking team.
Yeah. Don't keep score.
Don't keep score.
Nice.
You guys are on the same team.
Yeah.
Remember that.
There's a very transactional energy about keeping score, right? It's kind of not the game that we should be playing.
No.
Mm. Guys, two things. Firstly, you need to get this for a whole bunch of people, including yourself, for a Christmas present, which it would make an amazing Christmas present. So do that. Rosie's going to post the link so that you can grab that straight away. She's going to post that link in the comments below. So do that. Do it now. Get it for yourself for Christmas and get it for those that you care about for Christmas. Also, this one does an incredible show herself called the Melissa Ambrosini Show, which is her podcast where she has incredible guests on a regular basis and talks all things relationships, love, business, entrepreneurship, yoga, health, pretty much everything that we love. So head over there and check that out as well. Now, our two favorite questions. Who are our two book winners?
Oh,
Do you need me to run through?
Yeah, a bit of a recap. All right.
Just take me out of the running, guys.
Okay. I know, I'm so noble of you.
Keely White was
okay,
a front.
Okay, so we've got Lacey.
So
we've got Lacey with, I'm trying to be okay with being more me and chips and I'm just different.
Yep.
We've got Sharma who asked two questions, one which I can't find, but how do you help someone become more open?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always attracted to travellers and they end up leaving. Then we've got Balaram with how do you develop extreme self-awareness? Then we had Josh with what do you believe the most common problems people have in relationships?
Mm, I like that one.
I like Balaram as well.
Josh.
Josh and Balaram.
Yeah.
Josh and Balaram.
You two have won each a copy of this book signed by the amazing Melissa Ambrosini. So do that. And if you're not Josh or Balaram, then click on the link and go and grab yourself a copy. You are amazing.
Aww.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well done on writing such a vulnerable book. This is a book that needed to be written and you were definitely the person to write it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into today's podcast. I'm Jack DeLosa. If you enjoyed listening, make sure you hit subscribe and you'll be the first in line to get every new episode sent directly to your phone. While you're at it, open Instagram and connect with me. My handle is simply at Jack DeLosa, DELOSA. This is where you'll find me every day sharing the secrets of scaling multi-million dollar businesses and giving you a behind the scenes look at what it really takes to build a life that you love. You can also find me on all the usual places, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just search Jack DeLosa. Thanks again for listening, and as always, dream out loud. That's a wrap.
Yeah.